I want to take you back to Denton Community Challenge last weekend. I want to take you back to the closing moments of a great day. The tug of war has finished. The last of the raffle prizes has been won by Paul Giles. It was a handbag, I believe. Everyone is tired but happy. No one really wants to go home. It's been a great day. Can you remember the scene? If you weren't there, can you maybe imagine it? A proper old-fashioned Sussex summer fete, as someone described it. I'm not sure they were really there. But are you with me? Yeah, can you picture the scene? So I'm given the microphone to say a few last words. And I want you to imagine that I stand up and this is what I say. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone has had a really great time. Our event is nearly over. So this seems like an ideal moment for us to talk about death. Can you imagine? If I'd done that, it would have been breathtakingly inappropriate, wouldn't it? Even by my standards. You can't talk about death at Denton Community Challenge, can you? You can't talk about death with people you don't know. Actually, you can't talk about death with people you do know. You can't talk about death at work because work is stressful enough, isn't it? You can't talk about work down the pub or on holiday because you're there to relax. You don't want to talk about death. So when is it appropriate? Well, surely you can talk about death at a funeral, can't you? Yeah? But here's the fascinating thing. I have taken funerals, I really have, where I can see people looking at me, thinking, don't you dare mention death to me now. How utterly inappropriate. How utterly inappropriate of you to be talking about death at a time like this. What sort of vicar are you? It's true. So I wonder, if you can't talk about death at a funeral, when can you? Do you know, I'm not joking. As I prepared this sermon, all right, I turned on the radio, and what do I hear? It's not a joke. I heard the song, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. The Monty Python song. Yeah? It's a great song. I haven't heard it for years. It's a great song. But really? Is it good advice? Always look on the bright side of death, just before you draw your terminal breath. See, here's the problem. So many of us, even those of us who call ourselves Christians, we go through life and we never, ever talk about death because it's never appropriate. And so we simply don't know. We don't know what's going to happen when we die. We don't know because either we won't talk about it or because we're not allowed to talk about it. Steve Jobs. Remember him? He was the founder of Apple Computers. He died of cancer in 2011. And I want to tell you something he said before he died. He said, I can now say this to you with real certainty. Now that I know that I'm dying, I can say this with real certainty. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet, he said, death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. So surely, friends, just occasionally, it's worth thinking about the destination we all share. Just for a few minutes. That's what we're going to do today, because that's what this passage is about. So I'd love you to have it in front of you. You need to have the first reading in front of you. That would be really, really helpful. And there's this man called Lazarus. And I want you to notice just a couple of things about him. A couple of things it's so easy to miss. The first thing I want you to notice in this passage is that Jesus loves him. These passages are filled with references to how much Jesus loved Lazarus and his two sisters. So look down at verse 5 with me. Look at verse 5. And it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, what would you expect Jesus to do? What would you expect him to do? Surely you would expect Jesus to drop everything and go to be with Lazarus as fast as possible because he loves Lazarus and he has the power to heal. But look what it says. Verse 6. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he, Jesus, stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus loves Lazarus, but he quite deliberately delays. Jesus loves Lazarus, and simply by his word, he could have healed him. Distance doesn't matter to Jesus. He could have spoken and healed him. But Lazarus dies. Second thing you need to notice, I want you to notice, please, the picture that Jesus uses to describe what is going to happen. So, verse 11, the second half of verse 11, Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." That's the picture. Please, just hold on to that picture. Well, if he's asleep, they say, he'll get better. So verse 14, Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." Now, we're going to come back to this in just a second, okay? So just hold that thought. The third thing that I want you to notice, please, is verse 17. Okay, these are really important things. Verse 17, when Jesus gets there, when he finally gets to this village called Bethany, Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. What you cannot question in this story is that Lazarus was dead. He was literally dead and buried. Jesus can't heal him. It's too late. Jesus can't resuscitate him. Jesus can't give him CPR. It's too late for any of that. He is dead. If Jesus is going to do anything at all, it's going to have to be on a scale that is absolutely unimaginable and quite different to anything that Jesus has done so far. So please understand, Jesus loves him, but somehow Jesus allows him to die. He says he's going there to wake him up. When Jesus gets to him, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead and decaying. And this is where it's all heading. The fourth thing you've got to notice is that there is an issue about belief. Right, this story in John chapter 11 is the seventh and it is the last of the miraculous signs that Jesus performed. It's the last one. The purpose of these miraculous signs is to produce faith. Right? It's to enable people to get into the wheelbarrow, if you remember that story. It's to enable people to put their trust in Jesus. But the purpose of this sign here is not just to produce faith. It is to grow faith. It is to extend it and broaden it and widen it, which is why this sign of all the signs that Jesus performs is so immensely applicable to every one of us. Let me show you why. And for this, you've got to turn over to the second reading, okay? Let me show you why this is so important for you and me. Let's think about these two sisters that Jesus loves, okay? The two sisters of Lazarus. Verse 21, right at the top. Martha says, "Lord, if you had been here, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died." You see, they have immense confidence in Jesus. They believe that he could have healed their brother Lazarus. They believe. But they do not believe that Jesus has power to do anything else. So look down at verse 39. It's a bit further down. Verse 39. They're at the tomb, okay? They've gone to the tomb where Lazarus is laid. "Take away the stone," says Jesus. Now you've got to be pretty confident to say that, haven't you? Imagine me standing at the front of a funeral and I say, "Open the coffin." You don't do that, do you, unless you're very, very confident. "But Lord," says Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days." It's a day like this, and he's been there 4 days, dead and buried in this tomb. You see, Martha believes, but it's limited. She believes in a Christ who can heal the sick, But she doesn't think there's anything that Jesus can do now. She does not believe in a Jesus who can raise the dead. And you've got to ask yourself, is that me? Is that me? You see, I'm sitting here today, I say I'm a Christian, and I say that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Saviour, he is the Lord. But what can my Jesus do? Can he raise the dead? Really? Do I believe that enough for it to make a difference on the day that I'm going to be facing death myself? You see, Steve Jobs is so right. Death is the destination we all share. It's unavoidable. It's inescapable. And to prepare us for that time, to prepare us for that day, God will put us in situations which stretch our faith and grow it. You see, why did Jesus delay for 2 days? Why did he delay? Why didn't he just speak and heal Lazarus? Why was Lazarus dead and buried when he got there? It doesn't seem right, does it? But it's all because Jesus loved them. It's all because he loved them. He did it because he knew their faith. It needed strengthening and it needed stretching. They needed to know. They needed to know, just as we all need to know, that Jesus, on the day that we die, Jesus isn't just a great healer. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a good man. You and I need to know on the day we die, friends, this is it, that Jesus can raise the dead as easily as you or I can wake someone from sleep. That's what this is about. I don't know about you, but when I sleep like a dead man. If you try and get hold of me at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm dead. But here's the thing. All you've got to do is shake me. Just give me a shake. Some of you need a shake at the moment. Just give me a shake and I will wake up. Play the clarinet in my ear, as my dear daughter did the other morning, and I will wake up. Verse 43, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. That's all it takes. This whole story is there that we may believe that Jesus can raise the dead as easily as you and I can just shake someone and wake them from sleep, however deep their sleep. That's the Jesus we need to believe in. That's what the sign points to. And that is the sort of faith that does not grow in the sunshine. That sort of faith grows by being tested in the way that Mary and Martha were tested here. Do you know, on the 4th of July, 1854, a well-known criminal, I didn't know him, called Charlie Peace, was hanged at the gallows in London. And as he was being marched to the gallows, a priest was walking along with him, reading from this liturgy. And these were the words he read to this man, Charlie Peace. He said, "Those who die without Christ experience hell, which is the pain of forever dying without the release which death itself can bring." Charlie Peace stopped in his tracks and he turned to this priest and he said, "Do you really believe that?" The priest was somewhat flustered. "That's not what you're meant to say." The priest said, "Well, I suppose so. Yes, yes, I believe that." "Well, I don't," says this criminal. "I don't believe it. But let me tell you something," he said. "If I did, I'd get down on my knees and I would crawl all over Britain, even if it was over broken glass, if I was able to rescue one person from what you're talking about." Do you know, friends, this is not meant to be interesting. This is not meant to be mildly amusing or entertaining. This is life and death. You'll never hear anything more important in your life. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, it is a promise of life beyond the grave for those who put their trust in him. Resurrection means the defeat of death. Steve Jobs was so right. Death is the final destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it, not even Lazarus. At some point, this man, Lazarus, died again and had to have another funeral. How expensive? I guess he used the same tomb. So when Jesus says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die, he cannot be talking about physical death because we're all going to die. What he's talking about is spiritual death and eternal separation from God, which the Bible calls hell. I don't want to talk about hell. You don't want to hear about hell. But Jesus talked about it an awful lot. And he was very, very clear. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son will never know spiritual death, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. It's all about the Son. It's all about him. He and he alone raises the dead. Martin Luther, I'm nearly finished. Martin Luther, the great reformer, 500 years ago, he understood this. He really understood it. His little daughter, Lena, was dying in his arms. Can you imagine it? And he held her in his arms and he cried and he prayed that God would heal her. But she died. And as she was laid in this little coffin, he said, darling Lena, you will rise and shine like a star. I am happy in spirit, but the flesh is so sorrowful. This parting grieves me beyond measure. I have sent a saint to heaven. You see, death is terrible. Make no mistake. It is the most devastating barrier. He knew it. We know it. But he knew that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he knew that to die in Christ is the only sure hope of eternal life. Because Christ died at Calvary, sin has on me no claim. Because he overcame the grave, with him I will be raised. Where, O grave, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Eternity is won for me by heaven's eternal King. You know, there's only one question you've got to ask yourself. And it is the question that Jesus asked the two sisters. It's the only question that matters. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do you trust Jesus for your life and your death? That's the only question that you need to answer, that you need to think about. Do you believe this? Amen.